All right, I would ask us to turn to Psalm chapter 42. If I had any doubt that this was the theme of the thoughts that I was going to share today, that doubt just went right out the door this morning when Penny gave her message, because there was a lot of overlap. When that happens, to me at least, it's a real confirmation. It's one of those moments you feel like the Lord is giving you confidence in what you're doing. And so I was appreciative of Penny's message this morning. The title of this, you might call it PRP, the PRP principles of Psalm 42. What we're going to study in this psalm is the way that David progressed through a difficult time he was in, and how we can use those principles to progress through difficult times in our lives. We can progress through those difficult times. We can, we should, we must, the biblical way. And growing up in this society, you learn a lot of ways to deal with things. There's only one way that works, and that's the biblical way. So starting with, well, it dovetails with Penny's message about hard times. And the thing about hard times is everybody has them. Christians, believers have them, of course, but so does everybody else. Look at figures who are in our world today who are not believers. We have reason to think they're not believers. Public figures, movie stars, politicians. We have reason to think that they're not believers, or if they are, they're not walking with the Lord the way we want to walk with the Lord. They have hard times too. If I'm going to go through a hard time, and I am, and I will, why not see it and give the fruit the Lord wants it to give? So Sarah said something today. The Lord doesn't put us through trials a minute longer than we need to achieve what he wants to achieve. He does not give us needless, fruitless trials. He does not allow them. He allows them for fruit in our lives. And the moment that the fruit or the objective he has is fulfilled, that trial will pass away. That is something we have to believe. And so Penny talked today about a woman in the church Penny was going to at the time who seemed to be a stalwart in the faith and never showed emotion about anything, was even-keeled, even-tempered. Even when things went wrong, she was even nonplussed. But then one day this woman came to church and she was emotional. She was distressed. And Penny told her, I appreciate seeing that you do have a flesh that's susceptible to emotions, susceptible to reacting in the flesh to circumstances. How, as Christians, we hate to see that happen in our bodies, but it happens because God created us with the flesh, with emotions. And we, this is the first principle we'll see, as David progressed through a difficult time, he acknowledged those emotions. So I don't want to get ahead of my notes, but I want to just reemphasize, the Lord doesn't give us trials or hard times for no reason. There's fruit to be had. Please believe that. I tell myself, please believe that this isn't just a random difficult time. There are some circumstances completely out of our control, but the Lord intends them to bear fruit in our lives. So faith is not feeling, trust is not trace. There's a song in this songbook that says that, and how true it is, how hard it is to learn. Faith is not feeling, but we are human beings. We have a flesh, and we are driven by emotion sometimes. David was. Trust is not trace. God, prove it to me. Prove to me that this circumstance is going to work out for my good. Tracing through what we think God is doing is not the route to go. Faith, I saw this, and I never thought of it before. Faith is a decision irrespective of emotional feelings, which are fleeting, to go the biblical way. Faith is a decision to go the biblical way. The more I go on in my walk with the Lord, I see truly this is God's faith, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not mine. I cannot manufacture it. I cannot grow it on my own. I cannot look at a beautiful picture at a Christian bookstore that talks about faith and just believe and not going to do it. Faith is God's faith. It's His Son's faith in me. And there's a way to grow it, and it's the biblical way, and it's by being in the Word of God. So let's look at Psalm 42, knowing that the first sort of stage of this is David processing his feelings. Verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As if the reader doesn't already know, David is a man close to God's heart. He's beloved. David is walking with the Lord. My soul thirsteth for God. David longs for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is a man of deep, deep faith. Deep calls to deep. That's a phrase in this chapter 42. But then what do we read in chapter 3? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David was going through a hard time. I love this verse, this picture. My tears are mocking me. Where is the God to help you out of this? Where is that God of yours? Where is he going to help? So what is David doing in this verse 3? He's turning his emotions over to the Lord. Penny started out her message today, cast your burdens upon the Lord. He wants us to cast them. And that was one of the verses I was going to use, so I felt good about that confirmation. Cast, does that mean just kind of throw it out there? Like if you're casting to a bait to get a fish, just throw it out there a little, but keep it close enough to bring it back. No, cast is throw it as far as you can, or thrust it as far as you can upon God. If God, as the Bible says, already knows our thoughts before we even think them, do you think it's going to offend God when we tell him our thoughts? He knew before we even had them what those thoughts were. David is expressing his emotions. He has circumstances he does not like. He turns them over to the Lord. I am tired of thinking that saints never have emotions, that saints should suppress their emotions, that saints should be stoic, that saints should pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That's not the biblical way. The biblical way is to see we are dust, to see we are dependent on a God and go to him with our cares and cast them, whether verbally or just in our heart without saying it, cast them. Tell him how we feel. Cast those. But then we move and we see David moving to another step. So let's read verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I pour out my soul. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of the Lord with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. David is saying, I turned this over. And he says to God, the great God, my great God, he knows God's character of love. He knows he can share his concerns, his emotions, his everything with his God of love. So David has strong feelings. I'm imagining David is a man of strong conviction. David is a man of strong desire. David is a man of strong ambition. And he turns his emotions over to God. Verse 5 is another part of that first step of the process, turning it over to the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David knows God's character. He knows God's character. He knows he's safe to turn things over to God. The Lord may have blessed us with a trusted friend. I know I have some. And sometimes we just need advice. And we just need to go and tell. I have many trusted friends, as it turns out, as I think about it. And we know we can trust them. We can turn them over. God is the best trusted friend of all. Don't wait until you feel good to praise God. That's not the biblical way. Don't wait. So the second phase we see of this process in chapter 42 of Psalms is to redirect focus onto the Word. That's the biblical way, to focus on God-related things. Focus on the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's God's faith, Christ's faith in me. It's a gift. My ability to believe in a God of the universe, to believe that we're not just here randomly living out a greater or lesser, longer, shorter life that we happen to live, that there's a purpose. That is the faith of Christ. It's a gift to me. And not just that, the Word promises that that faith will grow. Does it grow because I just want it to? Does it grow because I do a quick little look at a saying or a quick study of a single verse? No, it grows by an in-depth study of the Word, an in-depth study of the Word. It will grow our faith. The Word is a treasure. Have I always treasured it? No. Am I learning to treasure it more? Yes. And I tell you, I am thrilled with those Bible teachers who go step by step, verse by verse, word by word. They synthesize the scriptures together. And I'm so blessed to have that, to have had that, and to have an expectation I will have that. That right teaching, that rightly divided Word of God. There are many people in my life who do that for me. I don't tell them thank you enough. I should. I know it's the Christ in them. I won't name names, but I think they know. But in any event, so that second phase is to redirect your focus off of your problem onto the Word. There have been times where I've been so perplexed, but I did. And I need to do it a whole lot more, right? I just got in the Word and I just went to a passage that I had no belief that it would affect my particular circumstances at that moment. But it was a passage I love, Psalm 103. And boy, after reading that a couple of times and studying it, my heart was lifted. My heart was lifted by studying the Word, going to the Word. I think about it like this. Dan has a cell phone charger in his vehicle that I like to use. And there's a magnet on the back of my phone. The magnet clicks into the magnet on the cell phone charger in the vehicle, in that truck, and it's tight as everything, and it charges my cell phone so fast. That's what the Word is, that charge. How do we think we can go about life without recharging? How do we think we can go about a difficult circumstance without going to the source of the power? We can't. I can't. Maybe I shouldn't speak for you. I can't. I need to go to the Word, and it's almost like any of the Word. Go to the Word. Let it work on your heart. Get out of just this thinking about the circumstance, thinking, analyzing, planning, strategizing. Go to the Word. Let the Word work on your heart. Let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. Transform your mind. We see David doing that. He's going in verse 4. He talks about going to things of the Lord. In verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. David is not on a high. He's not on an emotional high. He's not. He's in a deep place. Difficult. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. The hill of Mizar. So I thought, what phase is this verse 6? It's the phase of going to the Word of God and also remembering the blessings that God has for us. That, I think, is the step 3, which is praise God about something. Praise God about something. So the second phase is redirecting onto the Word. Redirecting onto the Word. The third phase is giving God praise for something. There's that song, Count Your Blessings. You know, you learn it when you're a little kid, if you're in a Christian environment. There's deep truth to that. There's deep truth. Sit down in that trial. Sit down and think about God's blessings. Nobody can say that they have no blessing to think of. Absolutely not. I have a friend at work, and when something is said or something that's just not right, she says, oh, please. We have blessings. No one can say they don't have a blessing. Go back and look at your life. How has God blessed you in the past? How has he brought you forth? How has he protected you? On little things, on big things. 2 weeks ago, I was driving to work. I drive all the time. And I have about, on a good day, a 40-minute drive into work. And I was making my way into the city, and I got on Interstate 70. And I'm not on it long before I get on a different interstate. And I'm driving, you know, I'm a type of person, I want to be prepared. So if I need to be in the rightmost lane, as soon as I can possibly get in that rightmost lane, I'm there. So that's what I was doing that morning. I was in my rightmost lane, and in my left was a big truck, and he had a big, like, transport trailer, and I just big, big truck. And I'm driving along going, you know, highway speeds, and I see there is a stopped car in that right lane. There's no median on this portion of I-70. It's a stopped car. It is there. I'm trying to get over. This man driving with one hand in his big, big truck is paying no attention to me in my little car. So I have to start honking. Get out of the way. Let me over or I'm going to crash into this car. And just before I had to really apply my brakes, he moved and I got over. And then my heart, after a few minutes, has stopped beating fast, and I'm trying to get my composure back to keep getting on which lane I need to get on next. And I thought, maybe God would have allowed that wreck for a child of his to take that child home. I'm not saying, how do we know how God blesses? It's his decision. But he didn't. I got over. I was fine. That's a blessing. There's small ones. Maybe that's small. There's big ones. I thought about, well, what should I share? I'll share that I was 17 years old when my dad passed away unexpectedly. He was here one day. He was gone the next. And that was hard. That was very hard. A lot of fear, a lot of unknowns, a lot of sadness, a lot of who knows what. And I look back, there was not a single phase where there was ever actually any problem in my life. I had fears of them, but I was financially secure. My family stayed together. Arguably, my mother and siblings and I grew closer. There is a reason we all live about 10 minutes from each other, and at one point, three of the four lived in the same neighborhood within two or three houses. There's been a real tight-knit family from that. No, at no moment did I have such overwhelming emotion that I couldn't go on in the things I wanted to do. I was turning into my senior year. I graduated salutatorian because of one, I think this, who was my good friend. She got like one, I got a minus in a class, she got a straight A. I look back on that. That's a day-by-day protection by the Lord. That's a blessing. He didn't let that event of my father's passing ruin my life. He didn't let it ruin my sister's lives or my brother or my mother. He did not. And he has blessed and will continue to bless in those relationships. Look what God has done. That's two things, small thing, big thing. That's the third step. We see David talking about Jordan. Let's see. He talks about the land of Jordan. That's where John the Baptist baptized people. Jordan, the Jordan River. That's a good thing. I think David is thinking of good things in this verse. He's thinking of times God was faithful to him. Jordan, the Hermonites. So I looked that up. The Hermonites. It's a poetic name for a snowy summit of a mountain range. And Israel to this day has a water supply that is supplied by Mount Hermon. It's a good thing. Third thing he mentions in that verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar," which is to symbolize blessing in small places. The Lord doesn't have to have a great big place to bless us. He gets right down at our level to bless us. The next verse, "Deep calleth unto deep." Who else can know the depths of your heart besides the Lord. Who else can you really share? You can share with some, but only the Lord knows without you even verbalizing what those sadnesses are, what those trials are, what those fears are, those anxieties. He created us to have emotions. If we think we're going to get through a trial in a way other than the biblical way, we will be sorely disappointed. The biblical way. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Then we read in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. David is encouraging himself in the Lord. He's encouraging himself in what the Lord's done. He's encouraging himself, I believe, in the Word, his own experience that is then put into the Word in the Psalms. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? I love this. This man is struggling, and he has a high moment in verse 8, and he has a low moment in verse 9. Why hast thou forgotten me? We don't serve a God who says, how dare you question me? We don't serve that God. We don't serve that God. And if we think that we're going to have a doubt and shut it down without turning it over to the Lord, at least for me, it doesn't work. He didn't give us thinking minds to shut them down. Oh, no, no. Let me be stoic. Let me not think through that. Let me not be yourself, but be yourself to God. Be yourself. Be yourself to God. Then we get to verse 11, and this kind of encapsulates the three sort of phases of this chapter 42. Why art thou cast down? David is acknowledging, he's processing his emotions. Why are you cast down, all my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And then he turns, he goes the biblical way to increase his faith, to give himself comfort. Hope thou in God. David knows God's character. His character doesn't change. For I shall yet praise him. That's confidence. Not in David's feelings. It's a decision. Where did I read that? It's a decision irrespective of emotional feelings, which are fleeting. Yes, emotional feelings are fleeting, to go the biblical way. It's a decision to go the biblical way in a trial. And then last here in verse 11, what is the health? For yet I will praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And that third phase is to look at the blessings. And after you've done that, see how your feelings are. If you have to make that decision again and your feelings aren't cooperating, make the decision. Go to the Word. Believe there's power in the Word in taking it in. There's power over your emotions. There's power in this Word. There's power in prayer. There's power in fellowship with others, other believers of like precious faith. There's power in that. That's the biblical way. That's the biblical way. So I think we would all agree that we have difficult times amongst us. Penny said today, not going to get better. We're going to keep having them. And I think that that's, sometimes I do long. I look back 10 years ago, things seemed easier. 10 years ago, they seemed better. And they don't seem to be getting better. And we lose loved ones, and we have difficulties in different situations. And I do believe the devil is attacking on maybe administrative level things, or the man who thought I was using too many pieces of equipment yesterday at the gym and wanted to have a little discussion with me, which I de-escalated and turned it into a nice interaction. But it upset me. Was that just that? Or was that the devil just kind of, whatever it is, that's some small teeny bitty problem. Let us pray for each other. Let us pray for things we don't know are going on in others' lives and things we do. Let us pray for each other. Let us support each other. Let us go the biblical way when we ourselves are in a deep trench. Let us go the biblical way. Let us not rely on our own self-sufficiency. Let's kind of get over analyzing things. Let's depend upon the Word. See what the Holy Spirit will do through the Word in us. And so thank you for being here today. When I was asked to do this, my instinct is I don't want to, but go the biblical way. If someone who's led by the Spirit asks you to give a message or give some thoughts, do it. I listened to Gene's, this had to be a long time ago because the quality of the CD was terrible, but how to give a message. And at one point in this very practical, wonderful instruction on how to give a message, Gene was saying that Brother Smith had told one of, I guess this was given in the Bible school, and Brother Smith had asked someone to, no, excuse me, Brother Smith had told someone that that someone was going to give like a message, going to carry out the things that were being learned, and that person sort of protested, well, I haven't had a chance to discuss this with the Lord. And Brother Smith said, no need, I have, and I'm telling you, you're going to give a message. And, you know, that brought me comfort. It's out of my hands. If I'm asked, then I'm going to rely on the Lord. And so I do appreciate everyone who stayed today. It is such a comfort to have people here and to have people participate. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will use something out of this message. But it certainly was a blessing to me to remind myself again, go the biblical way. In every phase of life, but when we are faced with difficulties, never think God doesn't care. Never think God doesn't understand. And never think that God thinks, just get over it. Or God thinks, just buck up. Or God thinks that's no big deal. God wouldn't be allowing it in your life if he didn't want to do something with it. Now I have to remember the last thing is a song and then a prayer.